Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, deep into May.
Yeah, deep. Head deep.
Yeah, 2 days.
Yeah. Did you have a nice April?
Yeah, it was okay. You disappeared last week. What happened?
I was in Cuba.
Oh, you must have the time of your life.
I was in Cuba.
Yeah.
If you want to start with that, we can talk a little bit about Cuba. Cuba was, I would say, a great time. I was with a few friends, but I will say that it was a utter disappointment.
What were you expecting?
Well, I was expecting to land and everybody smoking cigars. Seriously, I really was. And bars and places to get, you know, mojitos and daiquiris and all this. And it was really difficult to find cigars.
Yeah.
How weird is that?
Well, people buy them.
Well, but you had it. You can't. There was no, like, I figured there'd be stores. There'll be places you can go into, a tobacconist here and there. And you had to go into like dark alleys and find someone that sold it terribly overpriced. And we finally got some at the hotel that was much more reasonable, but it was a bit of a headache. Fortunately, I brought my own.
You might as well just go to Toronto or any place in Canada and get them at a reasonable price.
Yeah, exactly. So the mojitos are good. The food was interesting. I had some
probably get better Cuban food in Florida.
Probably. And we got a whole sow. Or pork, pig thing for one meal. We had some good Russian food there. That was kind of
interesting.
Yeah. So we had a really good Russian meal there. And the mojitos were good, actually. The mojitos I really did enjoy. I mean, they fresh, you know, tons of fresh mint. And they did it made a little bit differently there with some special bitters. Very good. But it was a good it was a great time. The old cars were fabulous. You know, taking a three-hour tour in 1950s something convertible was just fantastic. So that was fun.
Well, I'm glad you at least had a decent time.
Yep. Well, let's get to the market update. You see that crude oil is down about 12, 13% so far in the year 2017 after all that hullabaloo by OPEC trying to curtail production, which seemingly did not make a dent in inventories at all.
Blame the electric car.
Yeah, let's blame the electric car. And, you know, gas prices are stabilizing. They should be probably a little bit lower by now, but oil is still seeing a sell-off below. I think it clipped under $48 today.
It's where it belongs.
Yeah. There was some a little bit of a Tuesday night action as the API released their numbers, and we saw a little bit of an uptick today. But that's going to be a problem because there's a lot of players who have been speculating that oil prices will stabilize above 50 and buying into the energy space, and that's not working out too well.
No.
Nope. Mm-mm. Now, the VIX was sub 11 again. As a matter of fact, it went down. It hit single digits on, I guess it was Friday, it was.
How are you accounting for this?
I don't know. You know, it's interesting because you would think with all of the things going on, and we can make a whole list of them, and just the uncertainty about the fiscal policies that are going on, the lack of anything getting done, the situation in North Korea, Syria, what's going on in Europe, you would think that it would be a little bit more investor angst trying to protect their portfolios, but it's not seemingly happening.
Nope, there's no evidence of it.
Every time the market will tick down somewhat, the VIX will come up a bit, but just instantly the next day or so just collapse. So that would, I guess I would account for that by saying that there's a lot of optimism, or maybe it's just complacency. I mean, we have the French election coming up. We have a healthcare bill issue happening.
You know, that French election, it could go in Le Pen's favor. Mm-hmm. What's that going to do, I wonder? I mean, nobody seems to can't even guess anymore.
Yeah, nobody can guess. There's some speculation the euro will fall apart. There's some people coming out today saying, no, it will be really good for the euro, which I really don't understand how that's going to be the case as France, if they do in fact elect Le Pen and Le Pen follows through with her Frexit mission, then there is a big problem there because France is not a Greece. It's an anchor country.
Yes.
It's like losing Macy's in the mall.
Yeah.
It's not a good thing. So we have this healthcare thing that comes and goes, it seems. They have the votes. They don't have the votes. They're going to do a tax deal. They're not going to do a tax deal. There's going to be a build a wall. We're not building a wall. Or, I mean, it just goes, you know, we're going to have a government shutdown. We're not going to have a government shutdown. I think investors are kind of just done with all this. They're like, what the hell? What's the difference? No matter what happens, even as bad as it got in 2008, came back. You got low interest rates. The 10-year is, again, sub 230, 2.3%, and holding pretty well. So I guess there's really not too much worry about that. Plus, you have companies, you know, continuing with their buybacks. We'll talk about Apple in a few minutes, but Apple just put in another $50 billion shareholder plan where they're going to increase their dividends. And also, they're going to be doing more share buybacks.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So also what's going on, U.S. GDP, gross domestic product, used to be called GNP. Remember those days?
The gross national product.
Yeah, now they call it gross domestic product. I don't know what the exact difference is, but...
There's none. They probably gave him an excuse to fiddle with the calculation.
Ah, good point.
Seems to me, what else could it be?
Yeah, they came in a disappointing 0.7% for the first quarter of 2017, which is really... not what was expected, and it's really, if you look at the jobs numbers that have been coming out lately, and some of the manufacturing numbers, you would have thought you'd have a better 0.7. You know, don't forget that President Trump has been touting the whole idea that, wow, you know, we have this great stock market, and we'll take the credit for that, and we have this great, oh, look at all the jobs that are coming back, we'll take credit for that. But of course, when you have GDP that comes in light, it was their fault.
Yes.
It was the other guy.
It's the game the other guy played,
this
too.
This is a look back on this. You got to love politics just in general.
I don't see it any different than the stock market analysis.
Right.
Market goes down, you blame it on something. Goes up, you could blame it on the same thing for it going up or down.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
I do wonder, I believe Friday is a jobs number day. It's the first Friday of the month. And I do wonder if we're seeing... some of the recent softness in manufacturing in the U.S., and we're seeing that the GDP was kind of, a little bit soft as well, that maybe we could see a disappointing number on Friday. What do you think about that?
Maybe they'll cheat with the number. That's possible. Because that number is one of those numbers that they fiddle with. You know that.
Of course. They fiddle with everything. It's like Uncle Ernie.
Yeah.
Fiddling about.
If they don't have good numbers, I think you can still blame it on the other guy if you have bad numbers. So this may be one of the last few times you'll be able to do it.
Well, what's interesting also is that, you know, there's all these people that have been saying that, first quarter GDP is usually soft. It's an aberration probably. And if you remember back about a year ago, there was all this concern about, first quarter GDP is always soft because there's a weird calculation in the numbers. And usually what happens is that the second quarter GDP comes in strong. So we're going to do something to fiddle with the numbers to make it kind of like a little bit more averaged out, a little bit more differential so that we don't have these crazy first quarter situations. Do you remember that?
Vaguely. I don't remember it very well, but I vaguely remember there's some fiddling going around between the first and second quarter numbers.
Yeah. So last year they made a big thing. They changed the whole formulation. They said, we're going to do this from now on with the GDP, and we're not going to have this problem anymore. But now everybody's like, oh, we have this terrible aberration because, you know, there's this weird calculation in the first quarter. You know, so now they're looking at this and they're saying, well, you know, here we are. We have the first quarter weakness. It must be blamed on this weird calculation. Anyway, there's a chart on GDP, and you can take a look at that over on dhunplugged.com, which we put up in the show notes. And you can see that from 2010 through 2016, the blue line is the quarter over quarter GDP, which has been, you know, coming in a little bit. We had that great move back in 2014. 2011 had a nice pop. dropped off in the mid part of 2013, but we're starting to see it slow down and get a little sluggish again.
Yeah, look, it's an interesting chart.
I mean, I don't necessarily think. I think there is, I don't think this slowdown necessarily is anything major. Although we did see the car numbers come in today, significantly lower. The annualized rate of car sales well under expectations, which was a drop to begin with. We know
I'm surprised these numbers, the car numbers, were as high as they were.
You think because of all the runoffs on the leases and all that's going on, and all the people having problems with the cars and not, what?
I just don't see how people can afford new cars. I don't know why those numbers were so big to begin with. It was maybe they were doing fantastic deals. I have no idea. Fantastic financing.
That's what it was. It was all this financing that went on, and they stole from the future. We talked about this year, five or six times.
And there's a 4-year stuff going on. There's a bunch of different.
And now it's a 7-year deal for a car. I mean, they'll just keep on moving it.
Yeah, you get a nice car for 7 years. Yeah. You pay $100,000 for the car.
Right, for a $50,000 car.
Yeah.
Not the best financial plan ever.
Use cash. Pay cash for something like that. Don't buy it at all. You can't afford it.
How awful would things be if we went back just buying things with cash?
Well, it wouldn't be that awful if you have any cash.
No, but I'm just saying everybody just leverages up everything.
Yeah, but the leveraging is so expensive.
I don't think they care because it's like, well, why should I pay $5,000 for a couch? I can pay $35 a month for the next 10 years. And I got a nice couch.
Yeah, you do have a nice couch, and you're out $15,000 for the cheap couch. Yeah,
absolutely. The Nasdaq comp moved past 6,000 for the first time. Big prints on earnings from Amazon and Google. Microsoft didn't do as well. Microsoft was down a little bit. It's kind of interesting. You know, you see that numbers come in a little bit better and stocks take off. Numbers come in light and stocks don't do much.
Yeah, the one that surprised me the most was Google.
Yeah.
That was like a...
That was a major move.
Huge. Right. I was stunned.
Right.
I mean, I don't know how they're doing it.
What's amazing is also they had that big problem with advertisers pulling from their YouTube. Remember? And still they managed to do really well. So, and with all the free products they have. I guess the point is nothing's free. It's all hidden, hits on somewhere. Just scraping a little penny here, penny there, and they add up very quickly.
They must have some tremendous salespeople working there. Oh, that's the only thing I can think of.
Yeah, well, and the bigger the more the web is used, the more the intranet is interneted, and it's all one big. That's the only way we do things. That's the only way we spend our time. Well, the more Google makes. I think when I search for something, I don't like to hit the ads at the top because usually I know they're ads. I want to find something that's more relevant. And I'm pretty good about not hitting those ads. Do you think a lot of people hit those ads all the time?
Maybe. I don't know the problem with Google and this advertising model that they've employed is that it's a black science. They don't explain how it works. They don't explain how they get the money. They don't explain anything. It's almost like a secret. And so I don't know if people are hitting those ads. They don't give us any numbers.
Well, they have other things too, obviously. They have multiple parts of their business. They have the whole Google Drive. They have the Android business, which is enormous. They have a lot of different things going on. So it all comes into the play, I guess. And they are making it's not like they're making, $5 million a quarter. They're making billions.
Yes.
Billions upon billions. Well, there's going to be a Fed day tomorrow. There's a 2-day meeting that starts today. The big question is, will they raise rates again so soon? So we're almost half the year's done. We're in May. And they had how many rate hikes do we have this year already? Two? No, one last year, one this year.
One this year so far.
And they're on.
They're supposed to do three.
They're supposed to do 3 to 4. So this would be possibly the time to do it. But I would think that with the.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. With the slowdown in the summer trading and the sell in May and go away thesis, I don't think they're going to raise rates so soon. Bitcoin, on the other hand, is seemingly moving to an all-time high. I guess in Japan, now the digital currency has been deemed an acceptable form of payment. And it moved past 1,400 on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I should have bought some at 4.
Yeah, we have like 0.002 Bitcoins.
Yeah.
You and I will have to, I could probably give you 1.001.
And we can split it. Probably could.
Yeah. So we have Bitcoins. One day, maybe, who knows, maybe it will just keep splitting and going up or something.
They don't split because that ruins the model. It just keeps going up.
There you go. So we'll just, hopefully it'll be like a Zimbabwe dollar one day.
It'll be the other way around, yeah.
That's another thing about Cuba. You get nailed on the currency transaction.
Oh.
So we thought we were being smart with, everybody says, oh, go get euros. And then when you convert from euros to the Cuban peso. The kook. Yeah, the kook, they call it CUCs.
So it's not a peso?
No. It does say peso on it, but everybody calls it the kook.
Okay.
And so if you would exchange dollars, for every dollar you get 90 cents in kooks. And the dollar is one-to-one with kooks. So if you spend one kook, it's equivalent to a dollar. But they give you a 10% haircut if you exchange dollars. So we went and we got euros. We got about a 3% hit on that. But then by the time we turned the euros into kooks, we lost even more money. And if you change it back, so I know people like they had all these kooks left over, a few hundred dollars. They changed it back. They got hit with another 10%. So they got a 20% hit on their money.
Huh.
Yeah, bad dealings. Anyway, so the Bitcoin, you think Bitcoin still has some legs?
Well, some people predict it's going to be worth $250,000.
Well, we'll keep holding those little bitty points of Bitcoins that we have then.
Might as well.
Yeah. Now, the media, you've been watching the media, because things are getting, you watch the media a lot, obviously, on No Agenda. Pick it apart, put it back together. I did like your assessment of the correspondence dinner and the incredibly boring conversations that were going on and the horrendous comedian.
Comedian was not funny.
Not funny at all. I mean, that whole... some of it was actually not only not funny, it was downright horrible, deplorable, terrible. But the media is getting, it seems to be now, they were fighting with President Trump. They were kind of fighting with the people. Now they're seemingly fighting with each other. They've gotten down to the point.
They're in a fighting mood.
They are in a fighting mood. So now, you know, we're seeing all this stuff fly out of Fox News and people are possibly leaving. And it seems to be a major orgy going on over there. Over at Fox News. Doesn't it seem like that?
Well, they're definitely changing the guard.
Yeah. Well, everybody's getting hit on. Everybody seems to have a sexual harassment case over there. And, yeah. So there is a now a thing going on with CNN. When he was the president of CNN, this guy Zucker, when he was asked for his assessment of the cable news landscape in the era of President Trump, they wrapped it around. He said, this is a quote, obviously Fox News is, and he paused for more than 11 seconds. And he said, so look, there's three cable news networks, certainly in prime time and in the morning. Fox is a state-run TV and is extolling the line out of the White House. CNN is being charged with, quote, fake news constantly. New York Times is the failing New York Times. And now CNN is kicking back and saying that Fox News is state run. I mean, what is this all
about?
It's
not state run if there's no state support.
They're basically saying they're just taking their script from the White House. And that's also saying.
I watch Fox and I don't notice this. I mean, they just have a different political perspective than CNN. That's for sure.
But what's interesting is that CNN is trying to make it look like not only is Fox News, quote, state run, but they're almost saying that Fox News is running the propaganda from the White House. In other words, that the White House is a propaganda machine.
Yeah.
That's kind of hitting pretty hard, isn't it?
Well, especially since they're not getting, they must not be very good at it.
Yeah.
That's, it's just this guy. You know, of all the networks, CNN is the one that's borderline failing.
And it's been that way for some time. What I do is I click through several news items. Like I hit CNN, I hit Fox, and I average them.
Yeah, it's probably as good a way as any, or avoid them all.
Well, that's true also. They are becoming very difficult to watch because, you know.
Yeah, there's not as much news. There's just mostly, you know, mediocre news analysis. And that really just boils down to bickering.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. There's something that's been going on, though, I do want to talk about, this whole issue of 401k plans. So
yeah. Yeah, this is interesting.
This is a problem. Like,
it's definitely going to be a problem.
Yeah. So 401ks have been the backbone of individuals' retirement plans and their future retirement security for some time now, after the realization from many companies that said, you know what, we are no longer going to have defined benefit plans. Listen, for those of you that don't know, back in the day, you worked for a company. You retired from the company, and the company would give you something like 60 or 65% of your average last 10 years as a salary for retirement, as a retirement benefit for the rest of your life.
Which could, in some cases, if they allowed for retirement after 20 or 30 years, depending, could be a long time.
It could be a long time. And it really, what happened is it put a major strain on companies because people were living a lot longer. Calculations weren't done correctly by the actuaries. And a lot of companies were not able to meet their interest rate assumptions, et cetera. So in their infinite wisdom, there was this move by companies. They figured out they could do these 401k plans, which are called defined contribution plans versus defined benefit plans like they had prior. And says, you know what? What we'll do is you, will, as the employee, will put some money aside for yourself and we'll give you a little match towards it. And the good news is, the 401k money that you put in from your paycheck is tax deductible, pre-tax. So therefore, you're not actually spending a dollar for dollar. You're really spending, let's say, 70 cents on the dollar to save a dollar. This was a great thing.
Yes.
Especially if companies were no longer going to be required or desirous of providing for an employee's future, right? This is a great thing. And there's other things you could do, like SEP plans and IRAs and all this other stuff. And then there was some other things that came into play, was if you had a retirement plan, you can't have an IRA also and all this. But the tax deductibility of the 401k was a major benefit to employees because now there's incentive to save. And what happened was all your money grows tax deferred until such time as you take it out. And then at 59 and a half, you'd be eligible to take it out. There's a penalty if you take it out before. And at 70 and a half, you have to start taking the money out.
Yes.
Because the government wants their money. They want their taxes eventually. They don't want it just rolling over generationally, you know, forever, perpetually, you know? Now, there's been some murmurs very recently about that the potential tax deductibility on 401k plans may be something that's going to be reversed.
I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, there's also, by the way, a very similar mechanism in health savings plans.
Yes, absolutely.
Because if the government keeps, or unless they're full of crap, the economists are full of it, and there's this desire to get people to save more, you got to save. And there's no interest, there's no real benefit to it because you don't get any interest. You just have this money sitting around. But in an era where you're going to have reverse interest rates, it may be nice to have cash. But they have to encourage this somehow, unless they're insincere. And I always thought this was really a great way, and it gets people to put some money aside and just let it sit there. And the government, they don't get their immediate whatever the percentage is, but it's not like it's that much. You can only do so much a year. You can't just put all your money into the thing.
Well,
I don't know.
Well,
the other one, the real killer one that they keep skirting, but they want to deal with it, is to not let people deduct their mortgages.
Right. Mortgage interest. I mean,
mortgage interest.
And let me explain where the potential rationale is for this. If we do this and we have instead of a traditional deductible 401k, we go to a Roth 401k, whereas the money that is deposited is taxed. It goes after tax. It still grows tax deferred. And when you take it out, it's tax free. That's how this would potentially work. So what happens under that model if this goes through? And why would they do this? Well, the first thing that would happen is probably a lot less people would start putting money away for themselves. Because if you don't get the, especially young people, if you don't get the tax deductibility, they're like, oh my gosh, why am I doing that? The second thing is that it discourages savings. And when you discourage savings, what happens? People have more money. And hopefully what happens is they spend more money. So if in fact we're looking for stimulus at all costs to put money into retail, into shopping, into the economy, into corporations, then this is a good thing to do. There'll be more money to be spent. People have more money laying around and they usually don't save it. They spend it. The other thing is that it adds to immediate taxes in a form of revenue to the government because less money, about $90 to $100 billion a year is the estimated amount that it would be collected if this was removed, whether they deposit money or not, because you just take away that whole deductibility. So the government gets more money into their coffers. The theory is that people will be out there spending more. But what's going to actually happen is individuals and the government's going to steal our future and turn it into spending today. And if, in fact, the whole idea is just, well, we need GDP at 3% at all costs, let them just spend their money now. Who gives a damn? And then they'll worry about it in the future. Some, you know, the administrations and Congress 20 years from now will have to worry about this. Then this is a great plan. And why? Because maybe the government's concerned about some of the retail bloodbath that's going on. Like, you know, BB Stores closing 180 stores.
Yeah, wow.
Neiman Marcus defaulting on $600 of bonds. This is all in April, by the way. Marsh Supermarkets closing 180 stores. Route 21 closing 1,000 stores and prepping for bankruptcy. Payless Shoes closing 4,000 stores and filing Chapter 11 just in April.
Yeah, that would, I would say that's, would be the definition of a bloodbath.
And so, I don't know, I find this to be honest with you, as an individual, as a person, forget about as an investment guy and a financial guy, and as an individual, I find this to be one of the most worst ideas I've ever heard of, trying to do this, because people aren't saving as it is. They're living longer. They have less money in their pockets for their retirement. They're not going to get, nobody's just going to come up with money from just anywhere. And I think that the idea the government would do this to try to just goose up to make themselves look better is a pathetic advance. And it should be, it's something they really need to rethink. That's my thought on that.
Well, I don't know how serious they are to begin with or what kind of pushback they're going to get. But they're not gung-ho about this.
There'll be a lot of pushback. I mean, there'll be a tremendous amount of pushback.
Yeah, it'll be blamed on the Republicans.
The Republicans or the Democrats?
Well, what, if it doesn't go well, it's going to be blamed on the, well, yeah, okay, both sides will blame each other. What am I thinking?
Exactly. Everybody's blaming each other. I think that the Democrats will have more of a problem with this, but because the Republicans would rather, in concept, not entirely, but in concept, would rather have the economy moving with corporations doing really well, which, I mean, aren't they doing well enough? Google at an all-time high. You know, Apple at an all-time high.
Yeah, those are tech companies. I don't put them in with the rest of them.
The underlying economy, I agree with you, is not doing as well. No question about that.
U.S. Steel.
Not doing well. We could talk about that in a second. It's very fascinating what's going on with U.S. Steel, actually. Let's talk about Apple. Here's the numbers. Apple beat estimates by 8 cents tonight. Reports revenues about in line. Missed on iPhone sales. Guided the next quarter's revenue below consensus. Increases as its buyback, as we mentioned before, and its dividends. Its dividend about 10.5%. It made $2.10 versus about $2.02. Revenues were $52.9 billion versus $53.08, and they see about $43 to $45 billion worth of revenue. They usually are rather conservative or sandbagging in their estimates. The gross margin is estimated about 37 to 38, which is right in line with what they usually do. Now. Okay?
Yes.
All right, good. Now, here's what's interesting. They sold, in quarter two, 50.8 million iPhones. Estimates were for about 52 and a half. They did about 51.2 in the same quarter last year. So you can see that those sales are slowing down. Now, Tim Cook, in his comments in the conference call, talked about how, well, that's not really accurate because we had a lot of inventory that we sold as well. I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute. If you sold iPhones, whether it's from inventory or not, what's the difference?
Yeah. What is the difference?
You sold an iPhone. I don't care if it came out of your tuchus.
Yeah, what's he talking about?
I don't really know.
But he was probably talking about there's something on his mind. Maybe he's telling us something. We didn't pick up on it.
Maybe, but I guess we know they had an inventory problem. And if you remember, about 6 months ago, they slowed down on production. So they did.
Right. Right. Well, he is the guy. The reason that Tim Cook is even running that company, because he's supposed to be the logistics genius.
Yeah, so
I mean, that's why he took over the company. He's the one who made it so you can do something beyond just-in-time manufacturing. And so there shouldn't be inventory problems with a Tim Cook under a Tim Cook regime ever.
And you have to wonder how it is that you don't that the inventory, I don't know. You know what? They twist this stuff around so much that you take you backwards and forwards. You don't know where you are by the end of the call.
Well, they've already blamed the low sales, 50 million, the lower sales, the declining sales of the iPhone on the next iPhone, which I've seen them do this before.
Right. Who was that company that had put out of business? The computer company? The something effect? You remember this.
There's a number of companies that happened to, but Osborne was the one.
Yeah, the Osborne effect. Yeah.
Definitely went out of business because of this effect. And other companies have done this, and the problem with Apple is everyone knows that in September a new iPhone's coming out. Whether it's going to be better than the old one is always a question, but it's always going to be better. So the effect of the Osborne effect, or if you want to call it that, is kind of part and parcel of the Apple experience period. But once in a while they overhype one of the next phones, or it's going to be a 10-year anniversary of the phone. And so this is a big deal. And so some people are holding back. But to be honest about it, I don't see – if they sold this many, I don't see why people would hold back ever. I mean, what's wrong with the phone you have? I mean, just get a phone. I mean, I just don't see it being, I'm going to wait.
I mean, I'll wait. If I'm getting close, let's just say that I'm getting close to a time when my phone comes off contract and I can upgrade for free.
Okay, let's say August.
Yeah, I'm going to hold off July, August. I'm going to hold off for a couple months to wait for the new one. But I don't think that I'm going to wait much longer than that. I mean, 3 months. I mean, my phone. Listen, I have the iPhone 6S Plus. It's a monster, this phone. It's a beast. It does everything you want it to do. It's amazing. You know what was really cool in Cuba? I was able to turn my phone off because there's no internet there. You know, you're in a blackout zone. We're not going to put my cell phone on, but I was able to download this really cool app that's a map program that downloads the whole map to your phone, and the GPS is on so I could follow along where I was going the whole time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. Because now when you have it in airplane mode, it used to be it would shut down all the receivers. But since, I guess, iOS 8 or so, the GPS is on a different receiver. It can be on even if you're in airplane mode.
Hmm.
The other thing about Apple.
Ever try using it on an airplane?
Yes.
To see where you were?
I have, but the problem is you need the internet. Like Apple Maps won't work. Google Maps won't work.
Okay.
I could probably take a picture and it would store the GPS data in the picture and then I could see where I'm there. Or if you had another app that would, you know, if you had a GPS app locator that doesn't require internet somehow. I'm sure Garmin has one because on the boat, we're out of internet range and we have maps installed. You just have to install the map and then just overlays where you are on the GPS.
Okay.
Simple. They also reported quarter two iPads of 8.9 million versus 9.6 versus estimates of 9.6. So there were about 500,000 light on their iPads versus last year. So we can see this is continuing this trend. Same quarter, they did 10.2 million. I'm not ever going to buy another iPad, especially if they keep making these big phones. There's no reason.
No, the iPad, I think, is a one-hit wonder.
Mm-hmm. They also had they hit their number on Macs, 4.2 million versus 4.2, and 4 million. They were a little higher than last year, so that's good. Now, it's probably a good time to bring up this new Microsoft laptop that was announced today, I think. Timing is everything. They announced it. This is not news, by the way, but Microsoft has a way of announcing things on the same day and trying to steal the thunder from Apple.
Yes, this has never worked.
Did you see this new $999 Microsoft laptop?
No, I have not seen it.
Just announced. So I put a link at the bottom of the show notes of that. You can read up more about that. Let's talk about North Korea. North Korea is continuing to get all excited about their nuclear weapons test, saying it will bolster its nuclear force to, quote, to the maximum in a, quote, consecutive and successive way at any moment in the face of what it calls U.S. aggression and hysteria. And now, I don't know where this is going. They seem to they need to slow down and get a rocket off the ground first. And somehow,
well, you know, I'd still like to know how they set off those four simultaneous rockets, if you remember, a couple months ago.
Yeah.
And now they can't even send one up without it blowing up.
Yep. It's like cheap parts or something.
I don't know.
And now there's been talk about increasing sanctions on them. The U.S. is increasing sanctions on North Korea. Now, what do we?
Yes, I say the same thing. I know what you're going to say.
What do they sell? What do
Nothing. We don't do any business with them. What's the sanction?
Right. We're still not going to sell you this. We're still not going to do that.
How do you increase zero?
Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand how we thinking we're going to get other people and list other countries like, you know, some of the friendlier areas to the Russia or.
China doesn't care about our sanctions. Russia's not going to go along with anything since we got sanctions on them.
Yeah.
And those are the two trading partners, and that's the end of it. So what good has it done?
You know, people, and everybody's like, yeah, we're going to increase sanctions. It's all good. Everybody believes this crap. Yeehaw.
Yeah.
United Airlines said that on Friday, Chief Executive Oscar Muniz will not become chairman in 2018 under an amendment to his employer agreement approved after an uproar over the treatment of a passenger. Here's the thing. First of all, the passenger got paid off. Second of all, United Airlines is up 4% since the incident. In other words, it was at whatever price it was. It went down.
He's done the company a favor somehow.
Yeah, somehow it's up 4%. We're throwing them off. President Trump is now pushing for a government shutdown in September as a way to poke
Congress.
Yeah,
this is nonsense.
Did you see what he said?
He just made some minor comment. I think it was just kind of offhanded saying he makes too many of these offhanded comments and everybody blows them out of proportions. His Twitter account should be, I would call Dorsey up and tell him to get rid of the Trump account. Just close it. Suspend it.
Yep. His Twitter said, and I have the actual clip of the tweet that you can see. It says, either elect more Republican senators in 2008 or change the rules now to 51% for filibustering. Our country needs a good shutdown in September to fix this mess.
Yeah.
A good shutdown. We need a good spanking. That will teach him.
What kind of a mess is he talking about? Doing everything he suggests?
It's a mess. Yeah, exactly. If you don't go along with him, this is what you have to do here.
Yeah, well, they're not going to do it anyway, so who cares? I think I'm telling you, they should suspend his account immediately.
I find him to be humorous. Some of the stuff is irritating, but I find him to be humorous. I mean, he has...
Well, it is humorous to a point, but it's really distracting everybody.
I think that's part of the game, generally speaking. And maybe it's a good game. It seems to be helping out the stock market somehow, so I'll go along with it.
At the moment.
So just to end up on this, and everybody thinks I'm, you know, when I talk on THU Plug, oh, I'm so political, I hate Trump. I don't hate Trump. I don't really like the guy, per se, but let's see what happens. I'll give him time. I don't really like any presidents. I don't like any politicians either, by the way, now that I think about it, you know, I think you got to be something really a screw loose to be in politics. Something's got to be very wrong. Have you ever thought about running for office? Like the Petaluma?
Maybe
Petaluma,
local.
Petaluma Council?
Yeah, I would, a local thing might work, but my wife's, you know, kind of doing that and she's running for office in Port Angeles and, you know, it's interesting.
Yep.
You have a little, impact on your local community. It's a positive thing.
Yep. All right, let's look at the reflation trade. This will be the last discussion about something related to the government issues right now in the markets. But this whole reflation trade, you know, we're going to build America. We're going to use only steel America. We're going to put sanctions on other people. We're going to use only, you know, American products, bring jobs back and all this stuff. This is going to be great. And all these stocks rallied, right? Mm-hmm. Freeport McMoRan and AK Steel and Nucor and all the different chemical companies, all that. U.S. Steel rocketed higher. Take a look at this chart that I put up here. So U.S. Steel back in last year, we'll call it in September, was about under 20. Rocketed up to about 37. They come out with earnings. They get pummeled when reality smacks. This is exactly what I've been talking about.
Yeah, this is happening. This is going to happen with all these guys.
Yeah, with the whole idea that when reality, when expectations meet reality, this is what's going to happen. And for those of you, by the way,
and it's still not low enough.
Well, it could come back down to sub 20 at this point. I think it's at 21 right now. Today, this is U.S. Steel Corporation down 42% from the high that it hit. We'll call it in February. 42%.
Yeah, this was happening with AMD also.
Yeah, AMD got whacked today. Was a couple other ones hammered today. Everybody's all excited that they had some things that maybe were looking better and all that. And they were, you know, made me start moving.
They came out with some pretty good products. They got some good, they make a good product. They still do. But then Intel comes out with all this crazy new stuff and new chips. And they got some new Optum something or other memory technology that you can add to your hard disk subsystem. And it turns it into a hybrid hard disk, which is something they promised like 15 years ago. And now they've done it. And it, you know, I think it had a lot to do with the AMD getting hammered.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. But again, expectations not being met is what is going to cause some problems. And right now we're seeing that a lot of the market at this point is really being held up by about five or six different stocks on the big names, the names we've mentioned. The underlying levels of things like in the area of small caps and mid caps not doing as well. So there's something to be said about, everybody's all excited about looking at markets and just the market number. But, you know, let's look at the whole picture. That's like saying, oh, your head looks great and you must be fine. Meanwhile, your whole body is decaying, you know. Let's talk about just very quickly, this whole fork.
Oh, you don't think that's just a hoax?
I don't know. Maybe. Is it?
Looks like a hoax. If you look at the picture, you got a picture here posted.
Yeah.
And I've seen it being posted on Twitter. I look at it, it looks like a hoax. You can't do what good is this thing? You can't do anything with it.
The whole point
it's three French fries in a holder that makes it look like a fork.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be to lop up the excess sauces that come out of the new varieties.
What sauces?
These new varieties of McDonald's, quote, signature craft recipes. And by the way, anybody, you could take a look right after the show, about 10:15 tonight, you'll be able to see all of these charts. So stick around. So basically what this is McDonald's has finally introduced the product of its customization effort nationwide in the form of a new signature crafted recipes line of burgers and chicken sandwiches. So what they have is a new thing called the fork. What happens is you have these you get the choice of a burger or grilled or chicken that's been fried. And you can have a pico guacamole sandwich with guacamole, pico de gallo, lettuce, and buttermilk sauce, sweet barbecue, bacon, grilled onions, applewood bacon, blah, 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 all the stuff. And as you're eating this, you take one bite out of one side and spitting out all the other junk at the other side. You take this handle that you stick French fries in and you kind of lop it up and then eat the French fries off of it.
It's unbelievable.
It's just, I guess, a way of not getting your hands filthy.
You know, yeah, I guess you have to go. How do you get the French fries into that device without getting grease all over your fingers?
Oh, yeah. You got to squeeze an end and all that grease comes out and stick it in there.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. There you go.
I'm really borderline. I see that thing. I'm just borderline. This is a hoax, a joke. April 1st. We know it's May 1st. It's a month off. Mm-hmm. Maybe they missed a date. I just look at it as a joke. It's stupid.
Yeah.
I think the little phony baloney forks might, I don't know what else you could do, is shove mashed potatoes. I don't know what you could do with it. It's garbage junk.
Yeah. And do you keep the fork afterwards?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to go try this. Sure, and this also relies on the fact that some of this, if you're not a clean, what if you have one of those guys that eat their burgers inside the wrapper? You know what I'm talking about, right?
I do that.
You do? Oh, I can't do that. I'm always afraid I'm going to bite a piece of paper.
I always, before each bite, you have to do a little inspection to see if the paper is up there too close. Then you slide the paper down a little bit and take your bite.
And when do you take the paper off entirely?
About the 7/8 of the burger point.
Oh, just so it's just when it's get to one finger hold kind of
it's
thing.
It's getting a little too much. It's too hard. The paper's now in the way.
Right. So now you'll have a basket full of crap at the bottom of there potentially that you could really use that fork with.
Yes, at the bottom of the paper there should be a bunch of juice.
Yeah.
That you can use to frock and then you can dip it in there.
If you want to follow John C. Dvorak on Twitter, it's The Real Dvorak over on Twitter. Myself, Andrew Horowitz. Of course, you can listen to John C. Dvorak as he talks with a great guy who just recently seemingly moved and is out of his mind trying to throw things away, Adam Curry. And they have a show on Thursdays and on Sundays each and every week live. And, of course, you can follow him on there on a podcast basis as well. If you want to make a donation, hey, do it. But you just go over to the website. Let me give you more instruction. If you want to make a donation to DH Unplugged, go over to the dhunplugged.com website. Click the button that says donate. You should do that right now. Stop what you're doing and run to make that donation. It's not tax deductible, but then again, neither is your 401k anymore, it seems.
Curry says that about this point in the show.
Yeah.
He says he falls asleep.
Our show.
Of our show. He listens to our show, but he does it at night when he's going to bed. And he falls asleep around the 45-minute mark, which I think we're just about there. And I told him that from now on we're going to do post-hypnotic or kind of a hypnotic suggestions.
Yep. Curry. And so I think Curry, wake up. Wake up.
Well, not just for Curry. I assume there's a bunch of people that fall asleep about now.
Oh, really?
Awesome. Yeah, now's the time to hit him up for the donations because just subconscious little tidbits in there would do the spot, hit the spot. He just woke him up.
It's time to walk over to your computer and make a donation to Horowitz and Dvorak. Remember this jingle every time.
A jingle.
All right. The Close to the Pin competition. Currently, Credit Suisse, you owe me a number.
Yeah. You want me to give you the number live?
If you'd like to.
Well, I have to look at the charts.
I'm going to try to do, I was trying to do crude. I think we're going to do, I don't know, I'm going to figure out another stock that's related to a commodity for next time. Or not a stock, but an ETF that's related to a commodity. Like okay. An oils ETF or a natural gas ETF.
Yeah, those are tough.
That's
tough to predict, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And while you're thinking.
Credit Suisse is CS, right?
CS, yes. This is where, and by the way, this is where all the magic comes right now. This is the 45-minute mark where you see the deep and very disciplined way of analyzing a stock in less than 30 seconds, and he's going to give you a number.
Just throw a number out there. One of these days, I'll hit one of these bonehead.
We're seeing people in the chat room tell us they fall asleep right at the first donation segment of No Agenda. It takes them 2 days to listen to the whole episode, Richard.
Credit Suisse is just a disaster.
Yes, it is.
What would you? And when's this going to close?
The 5th.
What? In 4 days?
You're late. Yeah, I think because it's whatever. You're late. You're going to get a big advantage over everybody else. I think it's in 4 days.
15.
15. CS 15. Got it. Okay, moving along here very quickly because we want to make sure that we get to everything here. Let's see. We'll call that the next time. All right, this is disturbing. This has to keep you up at night, by the way. If you heard this, you couldn't go to sleep, what I'm about to talk about here. Okay? This is about Facebook. It has now come to somebody's revelation that Facebook is potentially targeting vulnerable youth who need a confidence boost to facilitate predatory advertising practices. It seems in the Australian, which I guess is a newspaper out in, I'm assuming it's in Australia.
Yes, it is, right?
Okay. This allegation was revealed by them, which contained, when they obtained internal documents from Facebook, which reportedly showed how Facebook can exploit the moods and insecurities of teenagers using the platform. Yeah. for the potential benefit of advertisers. They start looking for things like words and comments and posts of, like, with words like defeated, overwhelmed, stressed, anxious, silly, stupid. And then they hit them with certain, I don't know, what do they hit them with? Like acne cream or something? Or
I have razor, no idea. I like to see how this works out.
Razor blades? I mean, what are they hitting it with?
Semi-automatic pistols.
Yeah, I mean, what are you possibly doing? So I think that this is really, if this is one of the tactics they use for their advertising, you know, I'm assuming that if you say the word, I feel fat, you get a Weight Watchers ad that's served up to you or something.
Maybe.
Or if.
That would be logical.
You know, if you know, I oh my God, I can't stand her. You know, you get maybe a noose or a divorce attorney is put up there or something. The whole thing is it's very disturbing. Is it disturbing to you?
No, not really, because this is something I expected.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just that the memo came out. That's what I found to be interesting, is that it got out in the wild, the whole scheme. But this doesn't surprise me or disturb me at all. I mean,
so you're more disturbed that the secret's out rather than what the content of the information is.
No, I'm not disturbed that the secret's out. I'm surprised that the secret's out.
Oh, that they weren't good enough to hold it back somehow.
Yeah.
I just find it terrible, the whole thing. I really stopped using Facebook.
Good. I don't even have a Facebook account. So that's how, like, when you say you're disturbed, I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, because even when I somebody recently friended me from high school, and now I'm getting these, they sent me a private message. It's like, tonight we're praying for everyone that has cancer. Please thank God for your health and this and that, and pray, say prayers and send it on for 10 people so that, you know. And
no, I hate that. It was a chain letter.
A new chain letter. You know, if you don't, you're going to get cancer. I thought it was going to finish up with
you. Yeah, if you don't send the 10 out, you're going to drop dead.
Yeah, you're going to get cancer for yourself.
When I get one of those, I just go back at the person with everything I've got. And I said, I want to hear from you again. Right. This is disgusting that you would send me something like this with these threats. Oh, it's got a threat in it.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just quietly unfriend.
Unfriend?
What should I do? Should I report?
Blast them.
Oh, yeah.
Report them for abuse.
Yep. It was my stupidity. You know, these are people who I didn't really want to be friends with in high school anyway. Somehow I'm friends with them now.
Right. You know? Which I think is also the great irony of this whole these social networks.
Yeah. These are people I don't want to be friends with, and they're following me around wherever I go.
Well.
That's why I don't put a lot of stuff on there, you know? All right, we got a few other things that we're going to hold off, I think, for the next show. We'll talk about next show. We'll definitely talk about this whole vomit toxin, which I just like saying that, vomit toxin.
Yeah, what is that about? I'm actually clueless about vomit toxin.
It's a fungus that causes vomit toxin, which has been found in U.S. corn that's harvested last year. It forces poultry and pork farmers to test their grain, and it gives headaches. The plant toxin sickens livestock and makes humans and pets fall ill. I'm assuming you vomit.
Well, yeah, that would make sense.
So they got to get rid of this. This vomit toxin is growing. And we'll talk about a few things.
This is the problem with this is GMO corn, which is most of the corn that we grow nowadays. It's very, you know, it's a sketchy product. It's a monoculture. It's got all these issues. And then you get something like this happening and everyone's stunned.
The other thing I want to, we'll hold this till next week, but we had a question from a listener, Jason. He said, very important. I'm not sure who this is important to, but it's very important to Jason, at least. He says, on your next DH Unplugged, please deconstruct that the Venezuelan stock market is hitting all-time new highs while the economy and number of people in poverty increase.
Huh. I don't know if we can deconstruct it, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, this is the same thing that's going on around the world.
Oh, I know what's – you know what? Yeah, you can see where this is. This is Great Expectations. They think that – something's going to hit the fan pretty soon because this Maduro character can't seem to, you know, keep the population under control. He's going to get kicked out thanks to maybe the CIA or some of our people. Who knows? And then things will stabilize, which will put all of these businesses in good shape. And thus the prices are going up.
So you wouldn't be surprised if there's a mysterious plane crash in a mountain region of Venezuela with him on it.
No, that would be the lead. No, I wouldn't be. I'd be shocked that if he gets on a plane, that would surprise me more than anything.
Right.
Yep. Take the train.
What is John C. Dvorak writing for PC Magazine this week?
I've looked into the Internet of Things.
Oh.
And the crazy products that some of them, you know, there's like a toaster oven available that works on the Internet of Things. It's $1,500. And there's somebody that's got irked with the Internet of Things, and they've sent out these bricker bots that brick everything that's on the Internet of Things. And it's a very interesting process about that. But then what, as the column continues, I have concluded that the millennials are the big problem here with the acceptance of the Internet of Things, because they're all in debt. They buy stuff they shouldn't be buying, and it's all because of TV advertising on Saturday morning that was kept from them, as opposed to the Gen Xers who got to watch all the horrible ads that made kids buy crap they didn't like and didn't want.
So this is kind of like the same thing about peanut butter allergies. Now, let me explain what I mean by this.
It's exactly the same.
Right. So you're right on with me here. I don't even say any more about this, right? It's peanut butter peanut allergies, but now in the form of advertising. So now they're
this column is worth reading, but I'll tell you, I think I can stretch it a little bit and add to it, because once I came up with the idea that it was these kids being sheltered from these horrible ads that the Gen Xers used to have to endure. And I remember we had a Gen Xer in the family, Eric, and he was, I think he bought a couple of things, and we've heard from other parents. They, oh, I got to have it. They get it, and it's just a piece of garbage, even though you told them it was a piece of garbage before they bought it, or you bought it for them. And then they learn their lesson. It's like when you're a little kid, they used to have these heat vents in houses that were like grates that were like, they'd get hot, and they were on the floor. And if you're a crawling baby or a kid or a toddler and you were around these things and you touched them, you'd burn your hand. And so the adults would always tell, don't get near that thing. Don't get near it. They don't even put them in houses anymore because it's illegal. But they had them, I remember. And I remember one of my uncles had one, a house in Oakland, and they had one of these grates. And I don't remember if I touched it or not. I may have, but I'm sure I never touched it twice.
So you're saying that these people have had a problem with building a resistance.
Right. They have no resistance.
No resistance to anything, because we've caused this.
And there's something that I put in there which may have been a nasty remark, but I put it in there anyway. And it was that how did all these kids, these millennials mostly, how did they get all so caught up in the student loan problem where they're all deeply in debt to the tunes of hundreds of thousands of dollars in some case? And then I mentioned they had student loans in my day. This never happened to us.
Well, because now you can't do anything in life without a college diploma, the piece of paper. And therefore what's happened is that you got this major drive. I mean,
I understand the mechanism, but they could still go to junior college for a couple of years. There's all kinds of ways of getting around these debts. And then you can go, maybe at the end, you can go to one of these high-priced schools, which, of course, are part of the problem, because they gouge the kids, because the kids are susceptible to being gouged. And the same kids – I'm going to get some notes on this one. The same kids who are – I ran into these guys at a company I was working with some time ago. One of these guys, he was broke. He had to live with six guys in some place that had to share rent. And he says, because of his student loans. So he had like a $50,000, $60,000 debt. But every year he'd spend $600 to $800 for a new iPhone.
Yeah. Well, you have to have that.
You're broke?
Yep.
Pretty much broke. But you're going to spend, you know, the full tilt of huge amounts of money on a new iPhone.
Back in the day, it was the doctors and lawyers that had the student loans. That's who had the student loans of this magnitude. Remember that?
Yeah.
It wasn't your average four-year college person.
No.
Now four-year college. Not to mention the fact that one of the reasons is a lot of these millennials had to go to private school, and the parents are like, done. It's like, you know what? I spent 20 grand a year for 10, 12 years for you to go to private school. I'm not paying for college. You take out a student loan, because God forbid they go to a public school.
Well, public schools are just as expensive in most cases nowadays, but I would not let my kids do that. It wouldn't happen. We paid for whatever they had to do. Because you don't want the kids starting off with a huge debt what are you going to scoff at them, laugh, point? I don't know.
Yep.
But anyway, so this is about, that's what the column is about.
Good stuff over on PC Magazine. Let's take a look and a little journey over to, oh, wait a minute. Hold a second. This is a good time for this. This is a good time. please give to the Dvorak Horowitz Fund. Okay, let's take a look at the stocks. So this is a game that we play. It's not a recommendation to buy or sell any security at all. Please do not buy any of the stocks that we recommend or short them unless you are desirous of knowing what volatility is all about. We will take no responsibility for all of this. No responsibility for all this. But let's take a look. There's a game that we play only if, in fact, John C. Dvorak or myself or clients own any of the stocks. We will duly note that on the stock pick page. And I hadn't picked a stock in a few weeks. We had one stop out. Take two was stopped out. Short. You were short that. Let me see. Is that you?
That was me?
It was you, yeah. Take two.
Oh, right. That's the one. Yeah, I had the logic. I had some logic there. Yeah,
they never have logic. Two
insiders. Didn't work. And I mentioned that was a violation of the rules of the insider.
Exactly.
It was a total violation. And as a violation, I lost.
Lesson learned. There you go. Lesson learned.
Lesson learned again.
Yep. Barclays still up there. Kinder Morgan hanging in. Qualcomm, that's a buy, down 5%. Macquarie and Walgreens up a couple percent. AMC down a little bit. Jack the Box holding in. I'm short. It's up 7.9%. Gilead, which I think is going to have a bad night tomorrow or bad day tomorrow after the earnings came out, a few percent. We'll see how that goes.
You're poised. You're poised.
Yeah, Tronc is doing well. Campbell Soup is doing okay. Let's see here. Trade Desk. I like that stock. I still like that stock.
Well, look, the two I picked using the right rules both worked out. Yep. Wells Fargo's up.
Yep. 3.5%.
Neustar's up.
Mm-hmm. I have a whopping 3 stocks.
Oh, you go, wow, that's more than ever.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. So let's see here. So the first one is a total, when I say long shot, I'm talking about a long shot, crazy, potential, nutty idea. This is a company that I always thought was a short, by the way. From the day it came out, IPO, a year and change ago, when it started flying higher, I'm like, this is a short. There's no way this is going to play. Went up. Today they come out with earnings down 30% after hours. So I'm thinking, you know what? A lot of players are still like, oh, now it's cheap. I can buy it. So I'm thinking. Oh,
yeah, that's a reasonable attitude.
Long shot bounce because we know it's going to be absolutely crushed in the morning. So we're going to do a long shot bounce on Twilio. This is a communications company that helps with like if you have chatting or voice over IP or internet calling or possibly even like instant, like on your website, they can put in an SMS messaging and you can do it through your internet or through your website. The other one is I'm going back to the barrel again for Cara Therapeutics. Made 20% on it last time. Came all the way back. It's at 1492. I like 1450 as a really good buy point, 1455. But it's low enough that I'm thinking, you know what? It's back to this level again. And the other one is I'm going with gold once again. Been pretty good with this. This is the triple leveraged gold miners ETF Nugget and UGT.
So this is a buy. You're bullish on gold.
Bullish on gold. It dropped down pretty well. There was a tomorrow we have the Fed day thinking they're not going to probably raise rates. The dollar's been coming down a bit. Gold's been selling off a bit, but this thing is down like, I don't know, 35 or 40%, and gold's down like 3.5%. So I'm thinking that's an opportunity.
That sounds
here.
Reasonable.
That's that.
Well, I got a couple.
Go ahead.
AMD short.
Really? Even after? Okay, that's good. Okay.
20%.
20% stop. I got to put
Yeah, because it may do a little whoop-de-doo tomorrow and go up.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. That's just.
AMD 20%. I'm going to actually put Nugget 15%. Okay, AMD.
And then a long CSX.
Let me think what other one you had here. This is this one you had here, right? CSX long, the train company.
The train
company. The choo-choos.
Choo-choo-choo. Yeah, that one.
Bad company. Little
insider action. Buy, a big buy, big buy. What is the size of this buy? Let me see. A $15 million buy. Let me make sure that this stock is at the right. We'll just check one thing. By this is the CEO and president. And he bought. It's funny because his only real insider deals are selling Canadian Pacific and buying CSX.
Hmm.
That's what he's done of late.
He's new at the helm.
Yeah. And something's fishy about him selling Canadian Pacific. And I think he got a pretty good deal. He sold it at 150. I think it's at 110 or something now. So that was a good move. And yeah, something's going on with this guy. So I'm gonna ride his coattails.
Mm-hmm. By the way, for the chat room, a few people are asking about how we actually get a stop order. You can actually, what we're doing here is what's called a trailing stop. Look it up on the web. What a trailing stop is. What it does is it tracks your stock. So what happens is if you start out with a stock, let's say it's a dollar, and it moves up and it moves up and it moves up, it's not going to take you out until it's down 10% from the highest point after you bought it. So look for a trailing stop. That's the way, and most brokers can put those on and you can figure that out. If your broker doesn't do it, go somewhere else.
Yes, I agree with that.
So,
all right, it's all on the computer. They all have these computers can do that. No problem. It's not like a big deal.
Right. And we're running a little bit over, so just a little quick wake-up call for those of you who are thinking that. And we're going to end it right there, my friend.
All right.
We'll talk next week.
Okay, go Warriors.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.